Věra Chase is one of the most original voices in contemporary Czech writing. She's just finished putting together a collection of her poetry, both new poems and old, some dating back 25 years, to when Věra was a teenager during the dying days of communist Czechoslovakia. Her writing is intensely physical, full of energy and irony, and over the years has lost none of its freshness, or, as one critic humorously put it, stickiness. David Vaughan looks at the collection and meets its author.
Věra Chase's new book has an unusual title. In English, it would be 30 Death Point Strawberry, which makes little sense until you imagine it as a temperature, 30-something point something. And this is typical of the author's playfulness, suggesting the physicality of the body, the sweet sickliness of the strawberry, and the omnipresence of the grim reaper. And the book itself is beautifully produced. The lettering on the cover reminds you of embroidery work, and nearly every page is decorated with Vera's own line drawings. So when I met Věra Chase at her flat here in Prague, I asked her why the book looks as it does.
I had this idea about the book being like a package, because I remember some books that I read, the feel and the, you know, like if there was something that you could unfold, or if there was like a little letter included, you know, these things, nice things. So I always have a feeling about this book being a package. So I wanted a certain look. It has this like a little bit poisonous feeling, the book. I used a lot of mushrooms, and also I have old books of stitches and embroidery. So we used that, and I drew some patterns, and then we put it together, and it came out this way, like the pencil drawing.
And you mentioned this sense of poison. It's a kind of sickly sweet, a kind of grim fairy tale sort of quality, isn't it? That's menacing.
Well, you know, in this country we collect mushrooms. In many countries people are really scared of mushrooms, but I don't think that people perceive mushrooms as like basically evil in this country, because when there are mushrooms, everybody's in the forest, you know how it is here.
So tell me a little bit about the poetry and the writing in this collection.
I have some like old poems that I rewrite, or that I have not so, like ready to publish them for some reasons. And I think that enough has accumulated for this book, and I decided that I have to like do the last editing and then choose. I got this grant from the Latvian Ministry of Culture to like come to this nice place, very quiet, for 4 weeks, which is just enough, I think, to complete work like this.
Was it by chance that you went to Latvia, or was it a place that you'd chosen to go to?
I was curious. I haven't been there. And I have to say that if you talk about poetry, I mean, Latvia is the place. It's like there is so much nostalgia and this, I mean, what you connect with poetry, all these feelings like this sweet sadness and a little bit of autumn, and I don't know, it's just, it's there. I mean, and the people, they love poetry, and everybody feels very connected with it. And it's like people read poetry in their daily life, and you open a magazine, there is some poem. It's much more present in the daily life.
And you were able to find the space as well within yourself to finish this collection.
It was the perfect place for it. It's very, you know, it's a resort that was very, very busy. It used to be when it was part of the Soviet Union. They built these beautiful parks there, and it's all totally abandoned. They're beautiful. They're like equipped. On the beach, you see like one swing after another, and it all just like this creak, creak in the wind.
Sounds a bit too melancholy for my taste.
Oh yeah, I mean, you just don't stop thinking about suicide there.
And you wrote some poetry there in Latvia as well. This is a poem you're going to read us, which isn't in the collection, partly for the reason that you actually wrote it in English, which, as in a previous interview, we discussed this, that you do write in both Czech and English. It's called To the Beach and Back.
Mm-hmm. You know, living in this house with writers, the one funny thing is that you think, as a writer, you are so, like, unique, because I mean, how many times are you surrounded by writers, you're living with writers, but when you do live with them, you find out that they have like similar traits and similar characteristics, and it just suddenly you feel that everybody is always analyzing and synthesizing. And suddenly you don't feel so unique. It's like a congress of bricklayers. You know, like, that's what we have in common. Oh, yeah, this is a really nicely made wall.
So let's hear the poem.
Okay. The reason why I decided to say it, because there was one guy who was very different, and he was a judge, an old judge from Belgium. And I wrote this poem for him. It's called To the Beach and Back. I walked with this girl to the beach the other day. We merely knew each other. I guess I could have been her father, but asking age would have been inappropriate at that stage. The sea must have been cold. The pebbles rattled between her bare toes. She had taken her sandals off on the wooden path among the dunes. Out of a miniature rucksack she produced, a blanket to sit on, a towel, a bottle of tasty local water. Her bikini! Shyly, she changed while clumsily sank onto the blanket and pulled my jacket closer. I was trying to look in a different direction, fully aware of her abashed feelings. Yes, in spite of the sun's brightness, even from far, the sea was indeed freezing. The seagulls were shrieking, none to be seen even close to the water. But she wanted to try it anyway, to test herself against the element, to see how much she could take, I guess. She was that kind of a limit-testing lass. In principle, I had felt quite neutral about her so far, but the minute she disappeared under the water, I was overcome. A deep sensation of chill and admiration. Every cell of my skin retracted, as if going under. She swam a bit and waved at me, but I was still so frozen on her behalf that it took me a while to return to the gallantry. Astounding. When she walked out, gleaming, radiant, alive, I felt as if the dip brought her back from the world of the dead to the world of the living. There was no more neutrality between us. She sensed with every nerve of her body, and it reflected on me. I wanted to assist her, to wait on her, so cold and wet in the breeze. But she had no towel, I observed. So she just stood there above me, in full blossom, salty water beads glistening on her skin. This time I was looking, still stunned, while she changed. And it was the same shyness as before that prevented her from completing the job. Two big wet spots fast spread over her tank top from the undone bra. And there was no underwear under her skirt. Every step of our walk home, I relished the secret knowledge, knowing that the tiny spot at the back of my bald head was sweetly sweating, as it still, though rarely, likes to do.
What inspired you to write that poem from the point of view of an older man admiring a young girl?
Well, as I said, there was this judge, old judge. I think he was already retired from Belgium. He was a small guy who was always dressed perfectly and a complete gentleman. And
sounds a bit like Hercule Poirot.
Yes. It was so much. And we really got along. And it was just such a nice coupling. And when we went to some bar to like have a chat, we were like by far the oldest people in the bar because everybody was like, I think, under 22. And it was just a nice coupling. And I just started seeing things from his point of view. And he never talked about these things, you know. But when I gave it to him at the end, I was a little bit embarrassed. And he said, well, this is really very much like me.
Let's return to the collection. You've got another poem that you're going to read us now. This is a slightly longer poem. Tell me a little bit about this poem.
The pieces in this book originated in between the years 86 and 2008. And this poem is from just after the revolution. And I used to attend a lot of readings that were organized by expats here. It was a really, like, interesting environment. And some people contact me right now. I have to say that the competition and the quality of writing was pretty good there, what people presented at these readings.
This was sort of in the early 90s, just after the fall of communism, and there were a lot of people coming from all over the world after the borders of Czechoslovakia were opened, and there was a lot going on.
Yes, exactly. And also these people had something in common. They were not scared to enter a country that has not been surveyed. And, you know, there were no guidebooks about this. And so they entered this unknown territory. So they had some courage. They started newspapers and businesses. So I wrote this poem at the time and I read it. And it's quite a strong poem. And I was actually never courageous enough to publish it in Czech. But But finally, I suppose the time has matured enough.
It's interesting that you're happy to publish it and to read it in English, but you're more cautious in your native tongue.
Well, the whole context of literature is different in the English-speaking world and here. And unfortunately, what is well accepted abroad is not accepted here at all. And so I think that's also part of it. And also the fact that when you speak a different language than your mother tongue, of course, certain strong words don't affect you as much. This poem is called Hatred Caused by Love. And this poem begins this way. You may call me nagging. After all, I'm a woman. And don't worry, I will not forget to make you feel guilty. I really am a woman. And I don't care one bit about your feelings today. I'll do my best to make you feel like a zit. At least until my show softens and melts just by being near you and your body. But now I have no problem telling you, since you're not around, that there is no will to forget how you left me on the very first day of my period, when I'm as fragile as an airmail crystal glass flute. The first day out of the reach of the pill, one of the only 7 days left for my pleasure. The days of desire. Oh, so why wouldn't you leave me? When you heard the hot whispers of my body, for once clean against for you, after 3 weeks. When I had exercised with a razor to be as smooth as your hands, which you work your tool with in the empty bed, probably even thinking about me. But I don't give a shit about this. I don't care that good writers don't use 3 exclamation marks, because it's childish. I don't care about them one bit. I care about my hurt feelings, not more. The next time, when you want to take me in your hands, I'll be thorny as a hedgehog, causing your hand to swell. Swell so you won't even be able to do so much at all, not even to massage your slimy fat sausage that you love anyway so much. Punishments come, call me what you will, but I will see you to my door, the door of my mind, body, and art.
You wrote that poem nearly 20 years ago. Do you still think you've got the same potential for anger and fury in you 20 years later?
Yeah, I think I do. But maybe I would try to regulate it. The potential is definitely there.
So in some ways you have mellowed as you've got older.
Well, there's experience. And also some things that you have felt so many times that you don't feel them as strongly anymore. Like the emotions can a little bit become weaker, no? Because you have dealt with people who are angry at you, who swear at you. You know how to handle it more. It doesn't make you sweat like 3 nights in a row or something. And I don't know, falling in love is still strong.
Vera Chase, thank you very much indeed for talking to Radio Prague again. And I wish you best of luck.
Thank you too.
You've been listening to Czech Books with David Vaughan and his guest, the poet Vera Chase.